So where's the office back at Division?
The in office, baby. Going up.
What's up, Buckeye Nation? You're tuned in to the Buckeye Cast.
Sets, fires, touchdown, Garrett Wilson. Wow!
In the end zone! Oh, what a catch! Jeremy Rucker, give me that!
Fields to throw, steps up, delivers deep down the field, he's got a receiver, a long way, touchdown, Buckeyes!
Now here's your host, Joe Warwick.
The Ohio State Buckeyes!
What is up? We are back. We are back again. Going to hit you with this game week preview versus Nebraska. Can't believe it's here. Fingers and toes crossed that we make it to Saturday. Never know what's going to happen throughout a week, as Florida can attest to. And Dan Mullen probably doesn't want to open his fucking mouth again about packing the swamp. Anyways, as always, folks, this is season 5 of the Buckeye Cast. We're here every week hitting you with the game preview, recapping the previous week's game, all the good shit, and as always, commercial free. Please keep that in mind when you think about rating and reviewing a podcast. Always commercial free here. No commercials on this show. Subscribe, follow us, hit us up. Let me know if you got any questions. We'll read them on the air. Sean, what's happening?
What's up? What's up, man? Game week.
Yeah. Let's get juiced. Jeff is MIA tonight. Who knows? He's probably gnawing on a chicken bone in a back alley somewhere. So let's get ready for this Nebraska game in Columbus, noon this Saturday on Fox. Big new kickoff. Got some info. Nebraska is 1-8 versus the Buckeyes. Check out, their last win was in 2011 with Joe Bowserman as quarterback for the Buckeyes.
Was that one? Is that the Fickle year?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well. Do you remember the graphics of the Joe Bowserman passing chart? It was like,
they'd be
all over the stadium.
Yeah. Right. Those were good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those will live.
That's why I love Buckeye Nation. You know what? Yeah. We'll make fun of it. We'll call our players out.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to.
We expect greatness. Michigan, they make excuses for their players.
Exactly. Yeah. You wouldn't see that graphic floating around Ann Arbor, which I heard Ann Arbor actually, I heard the campus is shut down. Except for the athletes. For like 2 weeks.
I don't know what I know. I don't go over there.
2 weeks. They have a stay-at-home order. Yeah. What's that? Washtenaw County?
Washtenaw, yeah.
Their health department has issued an executive stay-at-home order for all University of Michigan undergraduate students until November 3rd. So that can be a problem.
To the election?
Yeah, it's convenient.
That's weird.
Not political at all.
That is weird.
Yeah, anyway, side note there.
That's a real mandate? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surprised, not surprised.
Right. So anyway, sorry about that diversion there. 2019, Buckeyes smoked these fools in Lincoln. Although I should say the nicest people in the world come from Nebraska. Buckeyes smoked them 48-7. They finally got to release those balloons late in the fourth quarter, I think. So Nebraska went 5-7 last year, 3-6 in the Big Ten. A couple of interesting quotes from Scott Frost's news conference on Monday. he had some glowing things to say about the Buckeyes, of course. He said, I'm going to root for the Buckeyes in every single game except for this first one, because I'm grateful that they went shoulder to shoulder with us to get Big Ten football back. He said that he doesn't think there would have been a Big Ten football season without Ohio State's efforts. And he talked to Ryan Day a lot through the process of trying to get the season reinstated. And he gave Dr. James Borchers, the head physician at Ohio State, a lot of credit for presenting a plan to get football back on track. So a lot of love there. And then he does admit that he said, no, I don't think it's a coincidence that we are playing Ohio State first week of the season. So, yeah. He may have played football.
Well, likewise with him, you know. Yeah. I think that, you know, I don't think it happens without Ohio State, and I don't think it happens without Nebraska.
Right.
I mean, they pushed in that lawsuit, and I think maybe that lawsuit is what did it, because we were about to get disclosure on a bunch of conversations that we weren't privy to, and they're like, all right, fuck it, you can play.
Maybe some things weren't followed as they were supposed to be.
Exactly. That's my take on it. So I'm same deal with Nebraska. I have mucho respect. Yep. Always had respect, but even more now.
Yeah, same here. I mean, Scott Frost always carried a lot of integrity as a guy, especially in the coaching ranks, from what I've heard. So, yeah.
I got to say, I was never a big fan, but that guy over the years has grown on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a hard-nosed, you know, he's a Nebraska guy, a loyal guy. That's why he could have gone anywhere to get a head coaching job. He probably could have stayed at UCF and become the head coach there. He might have even been a candidate for the Florida job when that was open and Dan Mullen got it. So he wanted to come back to Nebraska. You know, it's his first love, and I understand it. Played for Tom Osborne. I mean, some of those great teams in the 90s. So,
And I think it's an opportunity, too. I mean, you got to get through Ohio State at the end. But on that side of the division, I mean, I would have thought this many years in that Nebraska would kind of own that side, like we own ours.
Yeah. I think their limited recruiting base is the issue. They need to venture down into Texas. I don't know if they're – he coached at Oregon. He was an OC there. So maybe they need to go to the West Coast and California.
Yeah, but Oklahoma and Kansas and all these other places are doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I think your first stop should be blanketing the state of Texas for recruits, you know. I think that's where Oklahoma gets at least 60% of their kids, you know.
For sure.
Hit the West Coast, maybe find a couple down in Florida. But
I mean, Nebraska's always pulling some West Coast kids, too.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know how the hell they find them, but...
Yeah, they've always had a little bit of action out there in, like, L.A., Southern California area.
Yeah.
I think they need to really focus on Texas, though, because it's not that far. I mean, if kids don't want to venture too far from home, I think Texas is a good one for Nebraska.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were powerhouses. Where were they getting their kids from then? In the 90s, where I was born.
Shit, I don't know. A lot of they had a lot of walk-ons. I remember the kids that like overperformed, you know, that were, I mean, that's before recruiting services and shit.
Right.
So, but it seemed like a lot of them were not from a long distance away, you know. But you're limited in the talent base there. But getting into this offense for the Cornhuskers, they got a new OC. He worked with Scott Frost at Oregon. Most recently was a co-OC at Washington, where they were 55th in total offense, 58th his second year, 17th and 88th in scoring. He actually was the OC in the Rose Bowl against us. They put up 23 points, but 444 yards. So he can move the ball, I guess. What I thought was interesting this week is that on Monday, Scott Frost named Adrian Martinez the starter. He's been a starter for 2 years, man. And so he's been locked in this competition with Luke McCaffrey, apparently, the other McCaffrey.
There's another McCaffrey?
Yeah.
He's
a freshman.
That Adrian Martinez, I heard some of his numbers, and they're not good. And mm-hmm. I don't think Frost will tolerate another. Did I hear someone say like 10 touchdowns, 9 picks or something like that?
Yeah, that's a season.
Yeah. Ooh, ouch.
That's not a COVID-shortened season. That's a 12-game season.
I got to think that won't be allowed to go on that long.
No. No, definitely not. What else do I have on this team? Redshirt freshman Luke McCaffrey and Martinez were locked in a competition this offseason. And Scott Frost said that if they both were freshmen or something, I don't remember his quote, it would be hard to choose a starter if they were both equally inexperienced.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They do have their entire offensive line returning. Their top two running backs are returning. Dedrick Mills and Wandale Robinson. We're well aware of Wandale.
All the
Wandale. Wandale. Yeah. Wandale, also their second leading receiver. He was a second team freshman All-American. And was a finalist for the Paul Hornung Award. So he's definitely somebody you need to focus on when the Huskers are on offense. I think that's my main concern, looking at it from an offensive point of view, or defensive
point
of view
for us. Yeah, he's the real deal, I think. It's hard to practice for what they'll try and do with him, I'm sure. Adrian Martinez... you watch a game with him, be like, "Hey, a kid isn't half bad," and then you watch another game, and he's just awful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Inconsistency has been a big problem with him. I mean, look at last year.
He can hurt you with his legs a little bit, though, right?
Yeah. But they get. They'll beat a Maryland and then lose to an Iowa, a Wisconsin, a Purdue, an Indiana, get smoked by Minnesota. You know, then they'll beat a Northwestern in a tight game, you know, beat an Illinois in a tight game. So, and lose to a Colorado. I mean, yeesh. Talk about up and down. That's hard. It's a hard watch.
You banging on the Buffaloes?
What's that?
Colorado?
Yeah, I will bang on the Buffaloes. But what else they got going on? On defense, they have 5 of their top 6 tacklers from last year. A bunch of dudes I'd never heard of. And... I do remember their cornerback. His name's DiCaprio Boodle. Only because his name's DiCaprio.
His mom and dad's favorite movie is probably Titanic.
Right. And they still hate that bitch for letting Jack die.
The Boodle. They don't got the dudes right now. I mean, it'd be an absolute miracle.
Yeah, we talked about his 10 TDs, 9 interceptions last year. Previous year, though, in 2018, he was pretty solid. I mean, he put up 2,600 yards, 17 TDs, only 8 picks. Really decent. I mean,
that is decent.
He's always going to run for a little bit. It's going to vary. I mean, the stats aren't accurate because they count the fucking sacks, you know.
Nebraska should be able to run the ball. They've always got a line, you know, so.
And he's as we were talking about their recruiting base, he's from Fresno, California.
Yeah. I remember we were looking at him, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, we were.
Didn't Herb want him?
Yeah. I'm not sure how psyched Herb was about him, but I wouldn't have been too pumped. Looking at Wandale Robinson's stats from last year, so he's a sophomore now. Yeah, he had 450 receiving. Not bad. We'll take that. 340 on the ground. Much more dangerous in the pass catching. A la a Rondale Moore.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. Defensively, these guys don't really put up much of a fight. I'm not too worried about them. Offensively, it's just a matter of shutting down Wandale Robinson and Adrian Martinez. So let's get into our microscopes here for this ball game. Sean, who do you have your eyeball on this week?
Just because it's week one, got honored with the Blocko on defense. Were we going defense or offense?
Whatever
you like. On defense, I got Coop.
Sounds good.
See how it comes out and gets off to a good good start. Maybe grabbing a hold of that Adrian Martinez a few times.
Right.
Behind the line.
Right, I like that.
I'd be okay with that.
So
and yeah. On offense?
Let me go defense first then. I'm going to go Marcus Williamson. Lining up in the slot, he may get some action. Oh, that was almost a really loud sneeze. Wow. I think I just threw out a vertebrae. I'm going Marcus Williamson because he may line up on Wandale Robinson here a few times on Saturday, and I want to see what the kid's got under the hood. So that's my guy to watch on defense. Who do you have on offense?
Offense, I got Redemption Tour. I got Olave on offense. I think Olave is going to come out. I think Olave is going to come out and kick ass. I think he's going to have our first touchdown of the 2020 season.
I'm going Trey Sermon. I want to see how he looks in a Buckeye uniform. That's going to be very interesting to me. And not just how it performs, but how many carries he gets. Is it going to be a true 50-50 split with Master Teague, or is it going to be more of a 60-40 where Teague gets a little lighter load, you know, and continues his recovery?
Yeah, we're deep there. We were so thin, and then it all filled back out pretty good, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how they use it. Again, this game could get kind of out of hand early, so you could even see some Chambers, maybe that Mayan Williams.
Yeah, I think you forget about that 4-game redshirt rule since everybody gets this year off and just fucking unload, you know, let everybody get in the game. So let's go to score predictions. Buckeyes favored by 26. As of right now, over under is 64.5. How do you see this panning out?
Games are pretty high scoring. First one might be a little sloppy. I got Buckeyes 48-24.
Okay. All
right. So I'm going over, and Buckeyes don't cover.
Yeah, I'm going 62-10 with a missed extra point. I always have to bang on the kickers when I get an opportunity. 9 touchdowns. Defense will give up some points late, probably to Wandale. So 62-10, Buckeyes cover with the over. take it to the bank. I think Buckeye's comfortably. I think Buckeye. I don't think this is a. We're happy to be brothers in the Big Ten kind of game. I think this is business. And Scott, I don't think Scott Frost would appreciate us pulling up on him and being nice, being the competitor he is.
When you're up to 40 or 48-17, it's not like you're pulling up, but it's, you know, you're letting the. I think Ryan Day will be reserved on this game.
And maybe I know they have this bromance going on, but
not out of the gates. Out of the gates, Ohio State is going to whip their ass. Mm-hmm. They're going to bring it to them everything. But I think once it's clearly out of hand, I think you'll start seeing more personnel changes. I don't know if the game plan will change that much because I think this is going to be super important time because you don't know what this year is going to be with the COVID stuff.
All right. You want to quickly do a whip around the Big Ten on these? I got like three games to talk about briefly. First one, Sparty at home versus Rutgers, only a 14-point favorite. What do you think about that one?
Those two, I mean, there's not much to think about that. There really isn't. I mean, I don't know. I guess Sparty, they need it because this might be the only game Sparty wins. If they lose this one, they're going to lose them all. Bank on that. So I think Sparty gets out of the gates with a win, maybe get some false confidence. Hopefully they can beat their rival.
Okay. Yeah, I think the same. I think this. I wouldn't take Sparty to cover this game. I would just lay off, of course. I don't know what to expect from Rutgers, but even worse, I don't have any clue what's going on with Sparty. So laying off that one and would not – lean towards the cover there. This one has some intrigue to me. The Penn State at Indiana. Penn State's a 6.5-point favorite right now, but we just learned today that Journey Brown is dealing with a medical condition and could miss the entire season. So how do you see this one going?
Penn State at Indiana. I don't know. Penn State's always better than I think they're going to be. I always think, oh, they're going to drop off and kind of suck this year, and they're always pretty freaking good. But Indiana, I don't know. I got a little bromance with Indiana. They always come so close to winning big games, and they never do. I'd love to see them pull it off and turn the corner.
Tom Allen has them playing hard. Every week, maybe we'll get finally a view of Michael Penix at quarterback. Supposed to be a dual threat kind of guy, and we didn't really get to see him much last year due to injuries. But hopefully, he's healthy and ready to go. That could be a tough game for Penn State, especially without Micah Parsons.
Well, I mean, look at everybody's the first weeks when. College football kicked off. There's upsets all over the place. So, I mean, any games on the up for grabs, except the Buckeyes, of course. But seen some crazy stuff so far.
Definitely. And in the prime time window, we got team up north going to Minnesota. Michigan is a 2.5-point favorite right now. I'm seeing 3.5 on some boards. Kind of surprising to me. What do you think?
I don't know what to think. I live up here, so I start getting the Michigan hype. But I got to tell you, the Michigan hype isn't that great anymore. I don't know. Something's wrong with Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think they're going into a game that it's really their whole season. I think if they go in there and get beat, because Michigan's got better athletes, right? If they go in there and get beat, Minnesota is returning a lot on offense.
Exactly. That's why the spread is kind of surprising to me. Especially at quarterback. You know, Michigan's got a first-year starter that's had limited experience, but Minnesota has a returning good quality quarterback.
And I think four or five of the O-line, mm-hmm. and maybe the best receiver mm-hmm. in the big. I don't know what their running back situation's like. Probably not great. But Michigan's going to have is going to be good up front this year. It's the battle's going to be won if Michigan can pressure that quarterback. If not, that quarterback I think could kill them, because Michigan's secondary's all gone except for that safety they got. Their one guy didn't come back. He opted out and stayed out. And I don't even. I mean, I remember Andrew his Thomas. Name. I remember that name when they played, but I don't remember him being like. Is he a first-round guy?
I don't think he opted out for the draft. I think he just opted out of the season.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I don't think he declared for the draft.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if that's the case, then, hey, that's his choice.
Nico Collins declared for the draft.
Right. And that's – I think that's hurts Michigan. And Tariq Black's not there, and Peoples Jones went. They had that one young stud.
They got Ronnie Bell.
Fast dude. Yeah, that kid's tough. I rewatched the Ohio State-Michigan game, and he's probably their best guy.
I think he was the leading receiver as the team last year. I'm pretty sure of that. I was just looking at these stats. Check out this. When Minnesota beat Penn State last year, Tanner Morgan threw for 340, three touchdowns. They do kind of a running back by committee with Rodney Smith, Shannon Brooks. You've heard of Muhammad Ibrahim. Then the receivers, they really just got like three or four that will do anything. But they're going to miss Antoine Winfield in the back end, that's for sure.
Yeah, to me, this game's going to make or break Michigan season. If they win, and if Penn State lays an egg with the turmoil mm-hmm. they're going through, with Parsons gone and the other guy gone, they could potentially, if Michigan's pretty decent, if this quarterback's pretty good, doesn't suck, they could run the table till they play us. If they lose it, I think they probably lose. They probably have three losses before they play us. Mm-hmm. I don't care either way.
Yeah. I think I'm leaning towards taking Minnesota here with the 2.5 at home. Home dog. I'll go home dog gopher boat rower. I'll lean that direction.
But I don't know. That P.J. Fleck and that whole Minnesota deal, they weren't like for coming back on the Big Ten or whatever. And they weren't.
No.
Of course, Michigan wasn't. Michigan wasn't either.
Definitely not.
The Patsy schools. Yeah. Probably get there and they'll be like, I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, we'll just sit this one out. All right. Well, that's the big week one that I see. Buckeyes, of course, starting things off at noon, high noon in the Shoe. No fans. I think they're allowing like a few hundred family members, but that's it. No Brutus, no cheerleaders, no band. So going to be pretty sterile. Daryl. Kind of sucks.
It's like practice, except go harder.
Yeah. All right, well, folks, let's get ready. Week one, finally, it's fucking here. Let's keep our fingers crossed that we get to a game one with all important people in accounted for. Yeah, I can't wait. This week's going to...
Let's go. I don't know. It still hasn't hit me. I haven't watched really much football yet. I watched some highlights. I don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's going to be anticipating the whole thing. When the ball kicks, I'm just, damn, I hope I'm into it.
Yeah. I think we need Ohio State football to start off our Saturdays and give us that kind of lighthouse, you know, to set our coordinates for, you know. Otherwise, yeah, I feel like the season hasn't started yet, generally speaking, for football. So I think this will get
those juices flowing.
So especially when you start seeing all the Big Ten teams on TV, like you could go back to back to back this weekend with Ohio State, then the Penn State game, and then the Michigan game.
Oh, those are all spread out?
So
nice.
You could go Big Ten all day and not even realize the rest of the country is playing. There's a bunch of garbage games anyways.
That's actually not a bad idea. But I'm going to have to be DVRing for some of that because I got things to do.
All right, folks. We missed it, but we are back every week getting you ready for this week's game. Don't know where Jeff ever ended up, but I'm sure – I hope he's alive somewhere. Anyway. As always, folks, hit us up, follow the show, subscribe, rate, review, maybe recommend it to a friend. We greatly appreciate it. Sean, thank you so much. See you next time around.